Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
New policing strategies unveil. Big news conference this afternoon. I know Steve's been talking about it in the news. We've been following it. We had the mayor. You had the superintendent, several aldermen, city leaders. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, who was there, and she was on the other end of the fingers that were pointing in her direction from the superintendent and the mayor, just like a short week ago. But they were there, a unified front. We're going to shut down the looting. We're going to track it on social media when these things are organizing. We're going to try to get in front of it. We're going to try to prevent this from happening. And every single one of them said this is unacceptable, including Kim Fox. This is not what we want in our city. So it's interesting. What are they planning? What are they proposing? And will it work? We want to talk to Alderman Brian Hopkins, very critical of the last round. He was out there in his ward overnight watching the looting, watching things unfold, and the next morning had some very choice words for the way this whole thing was handled. I just wonder how he feels now. Alderman Brian Hopkins joins the show. Thanks, Alderman. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's still a very stressful time for all of us. And, you know, when you contemplate the gravity of this, it really weighs on you. I've been saying the future of our city is at stake, and that sounds very dramatic, but it's also unfortunately true.
What do you mean when you say that?
You know, if we continue in this direction, one more night, like the night that we just had Sunday night into Monday morning, could really be the end of downtown as a viable place to live and shop and for tourists to come. You know, we have two strikes on us right now. You know, we had this happen back in May. Now it just happened again. If it happens one more time, that's the third strike, and I just don't know how we recover.
Why does this matter for the whole city? Because I know a lot of folks say, well, why are we focusing so much on downtown? Why does that matter when there's crime and things in other neighborhoods? Why downtown should that get so much special attention? And those types of
things. Well, the obvious answer is that all of the solutions to social injustice and lack of economic opportunity and you know, schools that need more resources, all of the answers have a price tag. And the money to pay that price tag comes from downtown. You know, we have 50 wards in the city of Chicago. Two out of the 50 wards, mine and Alderman Riley's, account for about 40% of all the property tax money that we have in the city of Chicago to spend on everything. So if you allow downtown to decay and hollow out, you're basically shutting off your revenue stream, and then what happens? We're all going to sink or swim together. And if we allow downtown to stop providing the resources that the rest of the city spends, we're all in serious trouble.
Macy's made headlines today, Water Tower, saying that they don't have any plans to renew a lease there. They're going to shut down potentially that store. I don't know if the mayor can convince them otherwise, but and some of that was, they said, might have been in the works because of the retail environment, the pandemic, but they definitely have cited the looting that has hit that store twice, and they said that they were not doing a good enough job, and so they're out, the flagship store there, one of them at Water Tower, other than American Girl. And you look at this picture I talked about on the show yesterday, Alderman Hopkins, and that you talk about the funding for our schools. I'm a CPS graduate. Those are the places we're getting the funds for our schools, and when you loot and loot and loot and you drive businesses out of here, the consequences also are you are defunding our schools, ultimately. I mean, that is the ultimate end game here. If you don't allow that part to stop, because that's where it comes from. And I wonder, though, how do you do it? How is this plan going to be enough when you hear what they've talked about?
Yeah, well, my criticism of the mayor was based on the fact that 3 months passed between the May looting incidents and the most recent one, and it looked like we squandered that time. We didn't have a plan. We didn't adjust or change anything, basically. And now it seems like we're moving ahead. And so I want to be encouraging. You know, I'll give criticism when it's warranted and credit when credit is due. And the mayor's announcement today, along with state's attorney who was by her side, you know, I heard everything I need to hear. Let's hope that the actions match the words. That hasn't always been the case with this mayor. But I know she's fully aware of what's at stake right now. And we're starting that process of coming up with a plan that will prevent this from happening again. And if it does, to allow for an intervention that can stop it in its tracks, hopefully. That was one of the big problems with the activity Sunday night. Once it started, the Chicago police lost control of the streets and could not get control back. They could never stop it. It just simply wore out of its own volition. That's unacceptable. And the only way to intervene in a dangerous, volatile situation like that is to have a careful tactical plan and to have police officers that are trained on how to implement that plan so you can hit the stop button once that type of looting starts.
Well, how can you hit a stop button? I mean, that just seems so, there's so many people, and it just felt as if the police, frankly, looked overwhelmed to me.
Well, they were, absolutely. And in many instances, I personally witnessed looters walking right past police, or more likely running past large crowds of police officers like they weren't even there. So it was very ineffective in terms of our intervention. But even watching that, as I was frustrated, not one time did I think those police officers should really grab those looters, because I knew it was a very dangerous situation. Their lives were at stake. We had police officers who were fired upon when they tried to make arrests at a 7-Eleven that was being looted. I heard gunshots all night long that I was out there. So some of these looters were armed, dangerous, violent people, and they were not going to be arrested willingly. They were going to resist, and they were going to resist with deadly force. So in a case like that, to say we want our police to arrest criminals, it's not that simple. The only way to do that is with the tactical advantage, and again, that goes to training, that goes to plans. I'm a civilian. I don't claim to be an expert in law enforcement, but I know there's people in law enforcement who specialize in coming up with the types of strategies that can be implemented. We know what it shouldn't look like. You see the footage from Portland. That is exactly the wrong way to intervene when there's large crowds of people on the street engaging in some type of civil unrest. But that doesn't mean there isn't a right way. There is a right way to do it. There's people who know how to do it. We did that, years ago in Chicago with the NATO protests. We had very effective tactics that prevented a riot from breaking out. We need to go back to that.
National Guard has been brought up more now than I've ever heard before. And I want to ask Alderman Hopkins, I think we just lost him here. He dropped out for a second. But I want to ask him about that, because I'm hearing from local officials and local leaders who I've always heard say, no way, no how, do not even think about bringing the National Guard in, now saying, you know what, there is a role for them. There is a reason to bring them here. And I just wonder, Alderman Hopkins, have you heard these kinds of discussions? Are you interested in the National Guard coming to the city of Chicago to help back up police?
That's such a complicated question, and it's a very loaded question in a lot of ways, too. I will be honest with you. As I sat there on Michigan Avenue Sunday night watching the city that I love be destroyed and watching the police officers just without any ability to stop it, I would have wanted the National Guard. If I could have snapped my fingers and conjured them up at any moment, I would have done that without hesitation. If the alternative is to allow that kind of rampant, unchecked mayhem to continue happening, I would have wanted the National Guard here. But again, I understand it's not that simple. And going back to the example of Portland, if we turn the National Guard loose on our streets during an event like that, there's no guarantee that they don't somehow make it worse. So the answer to the question, should the National Guard be deployed, isn't really a simple yes or no question. It's a yes, but if we can do it in a manner that works and works safely and acts to quell violence rather than further it, then yes, I would support it. But obviously that's something that the mayor and the governor would have to talk about, and it seems that they've both ruled it out for now. So we'll just have to deal with what we have to work with, and that's the Chicago Police, with some assistance from the state and the county.
Well said. It's a complicated issue. There's no doubt about it. And I wasn't trying to, present that as a question to get you yes or no. But it's the discussions you've been in on now, I just was interested to hear how those considerations are being made and if it's being looked at currently. Hey, Alderman Hopkins, can you hang on just for a second? I want to ask you what you're hearing from the businesses in your ward, from the people in your ward. If you've got it just a second here, we can pick it up on the other side. Are you okay for a few minutes here?
Yeah, we'll come back after the break. Hold on.
Okay, thank you. Alderman Brian Hopkins there, Second Ward. We'll continue that conversation right after this. Brian Hopkins here on WGN. You heard the police superintendent today say, Alderman, we will arrest you if you come downtown and loot, or you come anywhere and loot. We will arrest you. There were 100 arrests the other day, and a lot of folks were sort of scratching their head, 42 felony charges. Are we missing something here? Are there a lot of misdemeanors in there, too, or is it 42, the total number, or roughly around there, if you're not... I'm up to date on exactly how many. It's hard for people to understand. 42 people total arrested on that, or is there a much larger number?
No, there was about 100 arrests. We're down to 44 of those were felonies. There were some misdemeanor arrests. You know, there really is no such criminal charge as looting per se. It's burglary, or it's criminal damage to property, or a combination of the two. We did pass legislation in Springfield a few years ago to acknowledge that this is something special, right? When you have massive amounts of people committing crimes at the same time, it certainly elevates that, but you don't charge massive amounts of people. You charge people individually. So these are all individual cases. Now, my estimation of the number of people who were engaged in looting, just based on my own unscientific observation, I said there was about 500 people downtown throughout the course of the night, from roughly midnight until sunrise. The mayor's office actually confirmed that number for me and said, you know, Alderman, we think your back-of-the-napkin estimate's pretty close to what we think, too. Obviously, there's no way to definitively come up with a number. But 500 people looting unchecked for about 7 hours, and we had 100 arrests. You know, do the math for yourself. You know, I mean, 99.9% of the criminal acts that occurred that night did not result in any arrest whatsoever. That's a fact. And again, I'm not saying this to point the finger of blame at the police. There was very little they could have done in that moment under those circumstances to change that outcome. At some point, they just had to keep their own safety paramount. And for the most part, that's what they did. And remember, they were outnumbered. There just weren't enough of them to handle a crowd of that size.
Mm-hmm. And Alderman, just to give you a number, the state's attorney Fox said today that there were 44 felonies recommended to her by police, and she approved 43.
Okay.
Good for her. You know, I know that flies in the face of what a lot of people think of her, and she needs to make a case right now that, you know, what her vision is for the state's attorney's office. She's a prosecutor. I believe a prosecutor should have a bias towards prosecution. We already have one public defender. We don't need another one making excuses for criminal behavior. A lot of people think she's done that throughout the course of her time in this office. And if she's turning that around and showing a different side to her philosophy, I support that and I encourage that, and it's the right thing to do. And as I said, you've got to give credit where credit's due when you also give blame. And I support the things that State's Attorney Fox said today.
Hey, you know, a lot of people are hearing that, the big businesses, they've got insurance. You know, you've seen some of the larger demonstrations talk about it. Oh, yeah, well, you know, Gucci's got insurance, and they have insurance. That'll pay for it. It's not a big deal, I guess, is the inference here. I don't believe that, but I also, at all, but I also am looking here, like, the cigar shop owner who, he's been there 19 years. I don't know if that's your ward's or a ward or Brendan Riley's ward, but he's in the Tribune today talking about it. This is my life. I don't think I'm going to survive this. There was an Indian immigrant who had a convenience store ravaged. You saw the Ronald McDonald House, where critically, kids with cancer diagnosis and other things are living there with their parents there inside, and those windows were smashed and looted. It seemed as if there are a lot of excuses being made here, Alderman Hopkins, and I just wonder how you view this whole thing, because you've heard all of this too.
You know, to write this off and just say, oh, they have insurance, what a ridiculous thing to say. You know, I mean, it just flies in the face of reality. You know how easy it is to cancel an insurance policy? Insurance people are good at risk management and risk predictions. That's why you can't buy hurricane insurance if you live in Miami. And if this is going to keep happening, there is no insurance company in the world who is going to sign up for a policy for anyone who has glass windows and lives in downtown Chicago. So that is just a ridiculous thing to say. And to attempt to minimize the devastation that these downtown businesses are experiencing by saying they've all got insurance is just such an ignorant statement. I don't even want to respond to it. But I'll also point out that while people are hating on the business community, the business community employs a lot of people. And they work for a living, and they need their paychecks. And if Macy's does close, there's a lot of people who are out of a job tomorrow, and I don't know where they go to find another one. So while you're gleefully dancing on the grave of Macy's, why don't you stop and think about all the people that are losing their jobs because of it, and then shut your ignorant mouth. Sorry, I'm angry when I hear people say that.
Well, and I know when you're hearing from so many people, these are their livelihoods. I mean, I saw a jeweler, a man and wife, they've owned it. This was their business. And they said that their insurance company, because it happened twice in 6 months, only paid 10% of it. So they're out the rest of it. And it's not so simple, right? And they have to make the decision. Can they even bring it back? And their taxpayers and all this other stuff that we're concerned about. Are you hopeful, though? I mean, are you ultimately hopeful about this, Alderman Hopkins? I know there's a great deal there's passion, there's emotion for all of us right now because we love the city, and I know you do too, and you want us to emerge from this stronger and do better. But are you hopeful at this point in time that things will get better, that we will figure out a plan in the near term to get out of this?
I have no choice but to be hopeful. I've heard from a lot of people in the past couple of weeks who tell me they're moving. I give up on Chicago. I'm moving. I got, and I just say to them, please don't give up on us yet. Just stick it out. Let's see if we can turn this around. I have to do that. I'm an alderman. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to live here. So I have to have some optimism, even if it flies in the face of, the current reality. I do believe in the best of the human spirit, and we're all trying to come together now and make some changes. Out of the trauma that we're experiencing right now, real social change can come at last. We can address some of the social inequities and the economic injustice, that plagues segments of society. We can address the racism that fuels it. We've been doing that. There's a lot of progress that has been made. So maybe out of this, some good things can ultimately come. I don't want to give up. And even in our darkest moment, and believe me, in our city's history, this is probably our darkest moment since the Great Chicago Fire. We've got to get through it and persevere and hope that a new day will dawn. What choice do we have?
Yeah, I'm well said. And thank you. Thanks for your time, Alderman Hopkins. I hope for better times and better circumstances, and appreciate what you're doing to be a strong voice on all of this and what you're doing in your ward, too. I know you're listening to a lot of folks who are really... they're emotional. They're going through a lot too right now too as well. And that's a lot to hear, right? I mean, they're telling you what they're going through, and you're trying to find solutions. Not an easy time to do that.
Yeah, that's part of the job I signed up for, and I didn't think it was going to be easy. And lately, it certainly hasn't been.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck. Thanks for calling in, Alderman. Have a good afternoon as much as you can, and the weekend too. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I hope it's a safe weekend in your ward.